Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
This week and every week, we'll start the show with a tip of the week. Then we'll be talking about various kinds of earphones, whether they're on the ear or in the ear, and all the different features. Our focus item will be about a particularly powerful method of accessing your computer using a screen reader that will actually read to you everything that's on the screen, and then finish up with some discussion of refreshable Braille displays. So this week's tip is how to identify your money. Unlike in many other countries, American paper money is all the same size and essentially the same color for all denominations. In the mid-1990s, the U.S. instituted putting a large purple digit in the corner of each bill, which was a very big help to many visually impaired people. And they've done other things to try to make it a little bit easier. The Bureau of Engraving and Printing is currently studying improvements they can make in accessibility for our paper currency. But for now, with what we've got, and it's not going to change in the next few months, that's for sure, here are some tips about using what we have. So let's say someone gives you some money, Pete.
Wow, what do I do with that? I spend it. No, but seriously, when I was living alone, I had to deal with this. And generally what I would do is go to the bank where you knew what kind of denominations they were giving you because they're pretty honest over there. There's lots of checks and balances. And then I had a system of folding my bills in different ways. So the ones would just stay unfolded in my wallet. The fives I would fold in half short way. The tens I would fold in half the long way. And if I was lucky enough to have a 20, I would fold that in quarters. So then I'd stuff those in my wallet.
The short way.
Right, right. That's true.
So he'd like make a 5 and then make a 5-5 out of the
right.
5.
Right. And then I would put those in different compartments in my wallet. I'd usually keep the, you know, 5s and 10s and 20s all in one place and the 1s someplace else. So that way if I had to pay for something or someone needed change, I would pay for it with the combination of bills so that I'd minimize the amount of change I'd get so there wasn't any confusion about what people were giving me back.
Back in the day when you used to be able to get 5s or 20s out of the ATM, we'd go to the ATM and I would always put in an amount of money that was a multiple of 20 plus 3 5s. So I'd get 15 or 35 or 55 and I'd get all the 20s and he'd get the 3 5s.
I was the poor man in the house, right?
That worked okay. So he'd get $15 every time we went to the ATM. Then they changed the ATM so they dispensed 20s and 10s. Yeah. He'd always get 110, and I'd get a pile of 20s. And now they only dispense 20s, so he's out of luck.
Well, we make do. When people ask me, you know, how I identify my money, they're always surprised when I pay them. I tell them, well, you know, blind people are very sensitive, and, you know, I could feel the beard on Lincoln or, you know, Washington's hairdo or something, and they'd say, really? And then I'd proceed to show them how I folded my coins so I could tell the coins apart.
No. Takes some of them a little while to figure that one out, too.
I guess. Well, the coins, at least in the U.S., the coins have different sizes or ridges on the side, so they're pretty easy to identify.
But let me tell you, when all of your sighted friends were complaining about getting confused with the dollar coins and the quarters.
They were close. Yeah, they were tough to figure out. You had to be a little bit more careful. It just took a little bit more time. The other one I didn't like was the $2 bill, because then there were just too many denominations and too many extra things to deal with.
So another way of identifying your money is they actually sell money identifiers. And I know we sometimes go into the Goodwill in Penfield, Webster, whatever it is over there, and they often have a visually impaired person running the cash register, and they've got an electronic box that the person can slide the money into. That's a little more expensive and a little bulky for carrying in your wallet, but they do make smaller devices that you can use to electronically read your money. The Bureau of Engraving and Printing is currently testing a bunch of electronic identifiers. The 5 that they tested took 15 to 30 seconds to identify a single bill, and they averaged being correct 80 to 100% of the time.
Hmm.
Maybe the bank tellers are a little more reliable and a little quicker than that, but it's an option.
Well, they have done a lot over the past few years with changing the money so that people who can see a little bit can read the bills easier, right? With the large numbers and the
high
contrast.
Right, the big purple digit on the back. Mm-hmm. They've also got some other big digits.
Yeah, that's reasonably new stuff.
Right, right. And another thing, besides using a bank teller, if you happen to have a friend you trust, you can always ask the other person which bill is what. But when you go shopping, you don't want to trust some random checker or cashier to tell you exactly which bill is which. So how do you handle that?
Well, yeah, like if something cost $8, I wouldn't give someone a 20 because then I never know whether I'm getting a 10 and 2 ones back or
3 ones, and they tell you it's a 10 and 2 ones.
So if something cost $8, I would give them a 5 and a 5 or a 5 and 3 ones if I had them. So I'd make the appropriate change.
Right. And he always makes sure that his change comes back as singles, no matter what he gave to them.
Right.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about various earphones, either on-ear or in the ear, and what some of their various features are. There are many situations in which one might want to use earphones. For example, we look like professional radio people. We're wearing earphones. We have the big, fat microphones. So we use the earphones so we can hear what's going on from the next room. But just at home, you know, if you want to listen to a book or the radio or whatever, and someone else in the room doesn't, or maybe you want a little privacy, there's no end of situations where you might want to wear earphones.
Well, you use it a lot on your walks. You take your MP3 player on your walks and bring your earphones. I mean, you don't want a big blaring stereo with you, or if you're out in the garden working, and so you have some earphones you use for that. So, you know, it both helps cut out other noise, so you don't hear background noise, and it also, you know, doesn't disrupt other people if they don't want to hear the noise. There are lots of uses. So there's lots
of
different
kinds. We
have
some friends who got married a few years ago. They were in their 50s and living in Manhattan in this little teeny studio apartment. And he liked to stay up really late and watch television, and she'd want to go to sleep. And she would like to wake up in the morning and listen to NPR, and he would like to still be asleep. And so for a wedding present, we bought them wireless headphones that they could listen to either the radio or the television, and the other guy could be asleep while they were doing that.
So the way the wireless headphones worked is really kind of neat. You just plugged part of it into the device that you wanted to listen to, like your TV, and then there was you just took your headphones away from that, and you could walk around the house or go wherever you wanted to go and listen to it. And then you'd normally put the headphones back in some kind of base station, and they'd recharge the batteries, because of course these things work on batteries. So that worked well for them. But there's lots of different kinds of headphones. I mean, for instance, these little earbuds that people use, and they come in all different kinds. And you find some of them a lot more comfortable than others. You know, some have some rubber padding on them. Some may not be quite the shape to be comfortable in your ear.
Some of them actually come with three different sets of little rubber things. It's kind of the tip. And if one size is too big and therefore uncomfortable, or the other size is too small, you just swap the tip until it's the right size for you.
What's nice about those is they're nice and portable. So when you're not using them, you can just roll them up, stick them in a little pocket, and carry them along with you. The other nice thing about them, if you don't want to totally block out everything else, but you want to know, like, the kid wake up in the next room or something, these don't block all the noise. You can hear what's going on around you.
On the other hand, if you're on an airplane, you might want to block out as much noise as you can, and they make sound-canceling headphones. Some headphones have a built-in volume control, so you don't have to fish around for the device that's actually playing.
Yeah, the sound-canceling headphones are a little bit more expensive. They may run $30 to, you know, several hundred dollars for very fancy ones, but they're great on an airplane or noisy environments. They're battery run, and they just cut out all the outside noise and rumble and stuff.
And again, you can buy these at lots of different stores, you know, specialty stores, any place that has an electronics department or whatever.
You are listening to Viewpoint, 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 Viewpoint.
This week's focus topic as promised, is a very powerful method for accessing computers. And we'll be talking about one particular screen reader called JAWS that's made by Freedom Scientific. Another very popular screen reader is called Window Eyes, made by GW Micro. And we'll walk through a session. We're going to give you the web address for both companies now. We'll try to remember to give them to you again at the end of this segment. So JAWS is available through Freedom Scientific. Their web address is www.freedomscientific.com. And Window Eyes is available from GW Micro, and their web address is, not surprisingly, gwmicro.com.
So I've been actually using JAWS since the early 90s, since about the time I first started using Windows and Windows 3.1 came out. And at the time, using Windows was kind of new, and there weren't many options for screen readers. And I tried probably about half a dozen different screen readers at the time, and with not too much success. A lot of them just didn't read well, didn't tell you good enough what was on the screen, things like that. And I was all set to give up when finally I came across JAWS, and it just worked remarkably well. And I was really surprised. I'm like, you know, what did they owe this to? Turns out, I think I know the reason. It was developed by a bunch of people who were blind. So they really had a vested interest in making this stuff work. And to this day, many people in the company are blind, including some of the lead developers.
And what does JAWS stand for?
Job Access with Speech.
So let's turn it on. Fire it up.
Turn on JAWS? Okay. So normally I have JAWS set to come on automatically when the computer reboots at the logon screen, and it'll start talking to you. But I don't have it running on this computer right now, so I'm just going to start it up for you.
JAWS for Windows is ready.
There you go. We're set.
Yeah.
So it's, you can hear JAWS is speaking to you. That voice, by the way, may seem familiar. That's the voice that's in our introductory
That's Samantha.
Yeah, introductory tune.
Samantha. She introduces us every week. I've been trying to sound as sultry, but it's tough. Can you make it read something to us?
Yeah, so to make it read something, now JAWS uses two different ways of, well, several different ways of navigation. First of all, there's a lot of standard Windows navigation commands, keystrokes, and you should become familiar with those. Go to one of the help documents in Windows or something. But JAWS also has a set of commands that are specific to JAWS, and most of these involve holding down what they call the JAWS key plus some other key on the keyboard. Now, for a desktop layout, the JAWS key is the insert key, so you'll hold down the insert key plus some other key. On a laptop, the JAWS key is the shift lock key, so you hold down the shift lock key plus another
keystroke. And that's sometimes called caps lock, depending on what your keyboard looks like.
Right. So I'm going to Alt-Tab, which is a standard Windows command, to another application. We have a notepad document where I wrote some text in there, and we're just going to have JAWS read that to us.
Alt-Tab. JAWS Alt-Tab, Kitty Kelly Defends, Alt-Tab, Untitled-Notepad, Untitled-Notepad.
Now, I've been hearing this from across the room, so I kind of know what's going on. I've gotten used to it. And what happened was he was Alt-Tabbing through a number of open applications, and then Pete gets a little impatient, so he clips the title if it's not what he's looking for. And so it went Alt-Tab and it read one application. Well, that wasn't what he wanted. And then Alt-Tab restarted reading the next one. That wasn't what he wanted. And finally, Alt-Tab, and it said Notepad, and the name of the document was Untitled.
Right. Fortunately, you don't have to wait for JAWS to say everything that it has in its mind to say, because otherwise you'd be waiting forever sometime. So when you hit any other key, it will clip that announcement and go on to the next thing, because it presumes you want to read the next thing that's happening. An easy way to do that with JAWS, if you don't want to hit like a D or an E key and mess up a document that you're in, you might be writing, you hit the Control key, and that usually silences JAWS immediately.
Pete sometimes wishes I had a Control key.
Oh, now.
Okay, so let's let her read it.
Okay, so JAWS can read an entire document with a single keystroke. If I hit the JAWS key and the down arrow, it will read the entire document from the top to bottom. So let's do that.
My name is Samantha. I am one of the voices that comes with JAWS for Windows. Not bad for a computer, eh?
And now can you make it go bit by bit?
Right. So that's if you got into a web page where you wanted to read a whole newspaper article or a whole Word document you wanted to read, you would just let JAWS do its thing and sit back and listen. But often you want to edit a document, so you may want to navigate by a word at a time or a letter at a time. So let's hear some of that.
Name is Samantha, period. I am one of the voices.
And how did you make it go word by word?
So that's another standard Windows command. You hold down the control key and either the left or right arrow key to go either backwards or forwards.
And then can you do it by letter?
We can do it by letter.
How did you do that?
So by letter, you just hold down the left or you press the right or left arrow key and navigate a letter at a time. So let's hear that.
V-O-I-C-E-S.
So you can hear that I could spell the word voice, and that way know exactly what was there.
Okay, so now we know a little bit about what JAWS sounds like. People are always amazed at what Pete's able to do. Let's use JAWS to get to a website.
Okay, so I'm going to open up Internet, and you'll hear JAWS open up the browser and start to read what's on the page.
And we'll describe what it said after you hear it. But the first beep is because we always open our browsers in Google, and it will open in an edit field, and that's going to create the beep. So you'll hear that first.
Yeah, the beep is the alert to let you know you're in an edit field on a web form.
Google-Windows Internet Explorer. Search edit. F6. Address edit. http://www.google.com.
Now it's reading the URL of where we are.
Right. I hit the F6 key to get to the address bar.
NPR.
And now I'm going to type in NPR's homepage.
Enter. 100%.
Hit enter.
NPR:National Public Radio:News and Analysis World U.S. Music and Arts:
And you hear JAWS reading the page. So just to recap what we did there, we opened up Internet Explorer. Google was the home page. I hit F6, which was a standard Windows command to get to the address bar. It spoke what was in the address bar, and then I typed in something new. I typed in the NPR homepage. I hit enter, and then JAWS immediately started reading from the top of the page down to the bottom, at which point I interrupted it because we didn't want to hear the entire web page. But now we'll navigate around it.
And you might have noticed while he was typing in the web address for NPR, which is www.npr.org, every time he hit a dot, it was the end of a word as far as JAWS was concerned, and it echoed back to him the word, if you will, that he had just typed. But you can set different settings in JAWS, so it'll echo back every letter you type or every word or every paragraph, or you can make it just shut up and go away too.
Right. I don't like to hear it typing every letter as I type, so I usually have it set to type to echo after every word is typed in.
Okay, now you're on the web page. How would you navigate from link to link to link?
So in general, another standard Windows navigation command is to hit Tab to go forward a link or Shift-Tab to go backward a link. But JAWS has a very neat feature where you can just bring up a list of all the links on a web page. So I'm going to do that, and it's going to put all the links in one list, and then I can up and down arrow through the list to look at what links there are there. Or, like in any other list box in Windows, you can navigate by first letter navigation. So I'm going to start out by arrowing up and down the list a little, and then I'm going to hit a P to go to one of the particular links that I know is on that page.
Links list dialog. Links list view. Donate/index. 1 of 264. NPR shop. NPR social media.
So I'm arrowing
login
down.
P. Programs. Enter. Programs.
I got to the programs link.
Visited link.
And it says visited link because he's already been there before.
Right.
Because it took us a few takes to create these recordings.
Now, to bring up that list of links in JAWS, you hit the JAWS key and F7, and it'll automatically make that list. And then when you arrow to one of the links and hit enter, it'll go to that particular link or web page.
Right. And it's helpful to have it tell you that you've already been here because for sighted users, the web address or the link address actually looks different if you've been there before or not.
So now we're on the NPR page with a list of all their programs. And web pages can be pretty complicated in terms of having a lot of information there. You don't always want to read from the top to the bottom or use the up and down arrow keys to navigate a line at a time to read the whole thing to find out what's there. So there are simpler ways to navigate using JAWS.
News/talk heading level 3. List of 7 items. Bullet link morning edition. Bullet link all things considered. Bullet visited link fresh air. Entertainment heading level 3. List of 6 items. Bullet link car talk. Bullet link radio lab. Music heading level 3. Special series heading level 3.
You heard that JAWS announced all the different headings. So on this page, there was a heading for each type of programming on the NPR page. And then underneath each heading, there was a list, and JAWS announced that there was a list, and I could arrow through the list items one at a time. If I wanted to go to the next heading, though, it's easy to go from heading to heading in JAWS by just hitting the H in any kind of web page or HTML document. So if I didn't want to hear the whole list or arrow down through it, I just hit H and go to the next heading right away. So that gives you an indication there are lots of different ways of navigating in JAWS. It's a very sophisticated program. No one will ever use all of the features, but what you should aim to do is to just learn the things that you're going to use the most and are the most comfortable way for you of doing things. But believe me, you can do anything using JAWS that a sighted person can do with a computer.
Pete's a little modest, but when we used to work for Xerox, and when Xerox forced everybody to upgrade, so-called, to Windows, even his closest coworkers and closest friends, you know, they'd corner me in the hall because they couldn't say anything to him. They're like, Pete's really going to be sunk. How is he going to deal with Windows? And I just said, look, I have no idea how he's going to deal with Windows, but trust me, he'll work it out. And these screen readers have really made it possible. And inside of a few weeks, even the skeptical people who were asking me these dubious questions were asking Pete for help because he had figured out how to do everything before they did.
Yeah. So JAWS really does make these things possible. You shouldn't be at any disadvantage. It could be a little daunting learning it, but again, you start simple and just use the things you need to do it first.
So before we shut JAWS down, there's just one more thing we wanted to show you, which is how you can change some of the voices. We've had Samantha doing all of this reading. We think she's kind of cute, but Pete doesn't usually use Samantha at home.
Well, and the reason I don't is Samantha is one of the more clear, natural-sounding voices, but I like to listen to things quickly, just like people like to speed read. And so I use one of the more computerized voices that when you're reading quickly, it enunciates a little bit better. It's a little bit more clear. It's easier to understand when you're doing it fast.
Can you show us changing voices? Start with Samantha reading something and then change the voice?
Yeah, so we'll do that. So we'll hear a little bit of Samantha, and then in the middle of that, you'll hear me go into a little selection dialogue with JAWS where it gives me a choice of voices, and then I'll speed up the voice as we go along.
Actually, I think you're going to slow it down.
Oh, I could slow it down. Okay, I'll slow it down.
One or the other.
David Warren Brubeck was born December 6, 1920, in Concord, California. His father was a cattle rancher and his mother taught piano. Period. Select a voice profile dialog. Default colon combo box. Real speak Samantha. Sappy 5-. Real speak
These
solo
to
eloquence.
Choices.
Eloquence is my choice for reading fast.
Right at the top, David Warren Brubeck was born December 6, 1920, in Concord, Cal. His father was a cattle rancher and his mother taught piano. His two older brothers, Henry.
That was the
and
same sentence.
And Howard studied to become musicians, but they had no intention
now
of following.
Slow
him,
it down.
He would listen from his mother. He would not. And Howard studied to become musicians, but Dave had no intentions of following them. Although he took lessons from his mother, he could not read sheet music.
Okay, let's turn it off.
Okay, let's turn off JAWS. Insert F4 shuts him off.
Unloading JAWS. Quit JAWS dialog. Are you sure you want to quit JAWS? Press enter to quit now,
I'm
or
positive.
Escape to cancel. Okay button.
Okay button. That's it. And JAWS is now off. And so if someone like Nancy comes up to the computer, she doesn't have to be annoyed by it.
So the high-tech item this week is about refreshable Braille displays, and the reason we coupled it with talking about JAWS is, you guessed it, JAWS can also send commands to the Braille display and make it so that Pete can listen to what's on the screen, but also read it in Braille at the same time.
Right. So all of my computers that I use have JAWS running on them, and some of them where I need Braille, I have a Braille display hooked up, usually through a USB port these days, although they do make Bluetooth versions and things like that. But I used to use the Braille a lot, particularly when I was programming, when I was a researcher at Xerox. I like to, for text-type documents, it was fine to listen to speech, listen to it quickly, but when I was programming, I really wanted to see each character, how things were laid out, so I found the Braille useful. Although some programmers, in fact, some of the main developers for JAWS, just program using speech. So, you know, whatever suits your particular work style is the way you should do things.
And they come in all different sizes, right?
Oh, yeah. I remember the first ones that came out in the early 80s, they didn't make refreshable Braille displays because it's a pretty high-tech item. The first one I had came in like only 20 characters, so you got to see a little display scroll around and stuff. Most of the common ones these days are either 40 cells or 80 cells. So Braille is pretty expensive. So even a 40-cell display may cost $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000, and an 80-cell display twice that. And that'll allow you to see 80 characters on the screen at a time, or 40 characters. And then you scroll around the display to see different parts of the display.
And then there are some note takers that have built-in Braille displays?
Right. What they started doing, you know, as electronics got cheaper and smaller and stuff, a lot of note takers, you can get sort of like PDAs for the blind that have both speech and Braille built into them. So that can be quite handy. Some of them, if you don't need the Braille, you can just snap the Braille off, or if you don't want to buy the PDA with the Braille, you can just use the speech part.
If you want a list of different kinds of Braille displays that are available with reviews, you can go to the AFB, American Foundation for the Blind website, and that's www.afb.org, and they've got an entire page with links to 29 different Braille displays, so we couldn't begin to describe all of those here, but they review them all. So that's about it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about using a collapsible cane, getting around with local transportation, meeting and dating, and hopefully we'll have some stories you find amusing there, and finish up with some discussion of the closed-circuit TVs as a way of enhancing and emboldening whatever you're trying to read, if you can't read regular printed material. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on this show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.